Welcome to Rewatching Oscar, the movie podcast where we usually focus on the Academy Awards and more specifically, the Best Picture winner of each and every year the Oscars have taken place. Today is one of our bonus episodes where we will stray from our usual format and take on a certain topic that you, the listener, have requested or brought up through your correspondence with us by email, Facebook, or other social media platforms. My name is Jack Ferdman, and I am your host for this bonus episode of Rewatching Oscar.
All right, Liza.
Yes?
Welcome and bienvenue. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here, and especially with you. I'm your biggest fan.
Are you excited to announce Best Picture?
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
the
yeah.
Oscar goes to...
Okay, Coda.
Yeah, that's what happened last night. Hey everyone, welcome back to Rewatching Oscar. This is episode 21, and today we're having one of our special bonus episodes. Now this one obviously is one very dear to my heart. It's Oscars Recap 2022. That's because this Sunday, this past Sunday night, which was yesterday, was the 94th Annual Academy Awards, showcasing the Academy's choices for the best of the best from the calendar year that was 2021. Well, obviously, unless you're, I don't know, been hiding under a rock somewhere in a place where, you know, you don't have any television or internet of any kind, or maybe not even any friends, the awards themselves are not and forever will not be part of this telecast in history. That's because all the winners were upstaged by the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Kind of got a little jiggy with it live on stage, didn't he? It was one of those moments that people like Warren Beatty and people like Anne Hathaway and James Franco and maybe even John Travolta are all sending thank you cards to Will Smith so they don't have to be remembered for their moments as much as, Will Smith is. Wow. Yeah, this moment was for the ages. And I promise you, I will talk about that during this episode. How can I not talk about that? But let's talk about everything that was the Oscars that night, the ceremony, the event itself. Let's get right into it. Now, there's a lot to unravel. Honestly, it's all, you know, I'm more about the wins, but people are not going to be talking about it. But let's do that. I'm more about the wins than the pomp and circumstance that is the Academy Awards. Yes, I guess it is fun to watch the red carpet and see all the great celebrities and what they're wearing and what each and everyone has to say, but that's honestly just dressing. And actually, over the years, they've actually gotten worse, and last night was pretty bad. I did not like the red carpet ceremony that much last night, so we're not going to talk about that horrific job that was done prior to the ceremony. So let's get to the ceremony. Well, it started off really cool, actually. It was really great having the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena, introduce Beyoncé, who was singing a pre-taped musical number on a tennis court in Compton, honoring the city and, of course, more importantly, for the film fans, the movie King Richard, about the rise of Serena and Venus and their overbearing father, Richard Williams, played, of course, by Will Smith. Yes, I promise I will talk about that. So the shot got right onto the right foot. It was beautifully done, very cool. Yes, you know, Beyonce is a diva and she does it perfectly. She did a great job. And then they had the host come out. And yes, they had hosts. Actually, they had three hosts this year. There was Amy Schumer, Regina Hall, and Wanda Sykes. And for the most part, they were okay, especially Amy Schumer. I thought Amy Schumer did a great job. She looked very comfortable on stage, especially when she was on her own without the other two. The other two had actually brutal moments when they were on their own. Regina Hall was like in a scene where she was groping male actors, pretending to give them COVID tests. And Wanda Sykes was visiting a newly opened Academy Museum in L.A., telling some of those terrible, jokes during the tour. Actually, I didn't work at all. I didn't like it at all. But I can definitely see Amy Schumer returning as a solo host. I think she did a very, very good job. She was very funny. Now, the theme of the night was Movie Lovers Unite, which is a great catchphrase and very sentimental if, and that's an if, they would do something special to showcase that. Now, the only moment And the only person who seemingly gave a sense of nostalgia and a sense of longing for film from the past and how it was going to see movies in the theater was in a speech by Kevin Costner introducing the Best Director Award. Now, it was moving and it was powerful. It really made me want to, you know, go sit in a theater right then and there. Very unfortunate. The rest of the night wasn't like that when it came to that sentiment, that movie Lovers Unite. I'm not against it, but that was the theme of the award ceremony, and I don't think they lived up to that billing, except for when Kevin Costner spoke, and that was pretty cool. Let me talk about those musical performances, because I brought up Beyoncé. All were good, and whether or not you liked the song, the artist really did a good job showcasing that nominee. Unfortunately, we didn't get to hear Van Morrison's nominated song. I think it was Down to Joy from the film Belfast, which is actually a pretty good song, because if he had a he had a touring schedule, he couldn't make it. So what did the Academy do? They didn't just do the four songs. They decided to go with that hugely popular Don't Talk to Bruno instead. And people were thrilled. They were like, yes, they're going to do this song. It's amazing. And it was the first time it was ever performed live. And guess what? I found it to be a bust. I hated it. I don't even want to say. There were spinning cameras. There was rapping. And it was shortened by a lot. I think the performers and the audience, the people in the audience, the celebrities, loved it much more than the people on TV. I despised it. I thought it was terrible. I'm so glad, actually, the Oscar went to No Time to Die by Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas. I thought it's a great song. It's a great performance. The Encanto song... is really good. The Dos Arigatas is a good song. But no, this was a good choice. But that Bruno song, brutal. Yeah, I know. One of the few. People love it. I don't. And then there were the tributes. The annual In Memoriam tribute, the montage, was a bit different this year. It was uplifting gospel music that was being sung live over the video montage and all the stills of every celebrity or every actor, director, screenwriter, and even they had a talent agent, which surprised me as well, up on screen of who passed away over the last year. And this great music was done. Actually, it was really cool that they had little highlights of certain performers that died, certain people that died, that Sidney Poitier did for Sidney Poitier, for Ivan Reitman, and for Betty White. I thought that added a little flavor to it, and I give them thumbs up. I think that did a really good job on that one. And then there were tributes to some films that was an anniversary of some sort. First, there was the Junos star from the movie Juno, starring Jennifer Garner, J.K. Simmons, and Elliot Page. And they came out and gave out Best Screenplay. And it was simple. It wasn't over the top. It was cute. So I didn't mind that. That really went well. Then the Academy went too far, or the producer of the Academy went too far and decided, let's do a few other films too. So they did White Men Can't Jump with their cast, Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes, and Rosie Perez, coming out honoring the 30th anniversary of its release. And I love White Men Can't Jump. It was great. But there was a ridiculous, endless joke about taking drugs before the show. It was beyond stupid. I despised it. I thought it was terrible. And then there was a montage tribute to 60 years of James Bond, which was really cool. But why in the hell were Tony Hawk, Sean White, and Kelly Slater introducing it? What the fuck is that? I mean, why were guys like Daniel Craig or Timothy Dalton or Pierce Brosnan or, dare I say, George Lazenby presenting it? Or how about some of the Bond women like Halle Berry? Like, they could have all gone out. That ruined it for me. Putting them out there made no sense whatsoever. And I'm a huge Bond fan, but no, I think the Oscars blew that one. Speaking of blowing it, oh my God, how about the grand moment for one of the greatest films and franchises ever to grace a silver screen, The Godfather. Now, it's the 50th anniversary of this near-perfect masterpiece, and who goes out to introduce it? None other than Sean P. Diddy Combs, or Puff Daddy, or whatever you want to call him. I mean, he didn't do a bad job. It's not his fault. But why is he presenting it? Why him? This is The Godfather. Come on. It's ridiculous. I mean, they do bring out Francis Ford Coppola along with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro to do that, like to talk about the Oscars, to talk about The Godfather. But What happened to Diane Keaton and Robert Duvall and James Caan and Talia Shire? I mean, having them all together out there would have brought the house down. I mean, it was a simple and not grandiose way that was done for such a legendary film at the Oscars. It was a huge opportunity and it was missed. Oh, well. And then there was a tribute to a film that was so dear to my heart. One of my favorite films of all time. Pulp Fiction. But honestly, why? And I love the movie, but why are you honoring Pulp Fiction on its 28th anniversary? It's not even a special number. I mean, not against anybody's turning 28, but 28 is not 25 or 30 or 50. The 28th anniversary, it's crazy. Well, then I thought maybe, oh, they're going to introduce Best Original Screenplay. You know, Uma Thurman, John Travolta, and Samuel Jackson came out, and it's one of the great scripts that changed the way movies are written forever by Tarantino, and it's a landmark achievement, and nope, they introduced Best Actor. What is going on? It's crazy. The Academy really knows how to blow these moments, these surefire moments in a telecast. Like I said before, oh well, that's just, it's crazy, but what are you going to do about it? And speaking of having the Academy figure things out to improve the show, let's say, well, there have always been backlash about how long the show is. So in a genius move, as all of you know, of course I'm being sarcastic, a genius move, they decided to cut out some of the awards given out to many categories. Well, kind of. They did show the nominees and winners in a shortened taped version of it. That actually worked pretty well on how they put it together. I mean, I think some of the categories left off the broadcast were the wrong choices, like best editing. That should be in there. That's a huge category. But it did cut out a little bit of the fun like this show. But the show ended up being over 3.5 hours anyway. So did they fix the problem? Doesn't seem like it. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem if the Oscars go on for 10, 12, 15 hours. I love the Oscars. But those who complained about it, they tried to fix the problem. And they didn't. Again. Oh, well. Oh, the Oscars really screwing around, eh? Anyway, it does look like I'm picking on the awards telecast. However, I did enjoy them this year, and they were better than most in recent memory. I mean, it was great to see the semblance of what it once was before COVID ravaged the world and the last two telecasts. It was really tough, especially last year. It was kind of like put together haphazardly, people sitting around tables and everything. But I'm glad it came back. And it's really cool how celebrities push for what's right morally in the world. They add that to the speech. People sometimes don't like it. Why are celebrities talking about these things? I think it's great. I think it's great that they talk about the LGBTQ community. I think it's great they talk about women's issues. And I love they supported Ukraine against the invasion by Putin and Russia. I think it's important. I think they should continue to do so. Remember, these are movies. They're my favorite thing in the world, but they are not life and death. So perspective, people, please. So this is a good thing that they're doing this. So kudos to them. I'll give them thumbs up for that as well. So just before I talk about the awards themselves, let me finally get to the topic everyone's talking about. That's all they're talking about is the slap heard around the world. Wow.
Oh, wow. You know who's got the hardest job tonight? Javier Bardem and his wife are both nominated. Now, if she loses, he can't win! He is praying that Will Smith wins. Like, please, Lord! Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it, all right? that was a nice one, okay. I'm out here, uh-oh, Richard. Oh, wow. Wow. Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
Wow, dude.
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane jump.
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
I'm going to, okay? Okay. That was a greatest night in the history of television. Okay. Okay.
Now let's start by saying Even hearing that again is crazy. Let's start by saying, when it first happened, like everyone else, I thought it was fake. I thought it was staged, right? Am I alone on this? I don't think so. Why would anyone ever go do that? Why would they go on stage and hit someone, especially someone right before they're going to probably win Best Actor? But then it sunk in. So what I did was I rewatched it again. I rewound it quickly, watched it again. And then I heard it was uncut on the British podcast episode, like the British podcast of it, or broadcast of it, and also in the Australian broadcast, which I listened to as well. And it was full and it was real and it kind of shook me. Like, I honestly couldn't, my mouth was open for the rest of the broadcast. It ruined it. It was ridiculous. I mean, what the fuck? I'm still in shock. So the point of all this is whether you agree or disagree with Will Smith and what he did. Well, the point is, there is no two sides of this. Now, I will start off here by saying that I am a Will Smith fan. I think he's a really good actor. I think he did a great job in King Richard. And although I don't think he deserved to win the Oscar for that role, I was fully impressed by his work in it. And in so many of other films he was in during his career, I loved him in Ali. I loved him in 6 Degrees of Separation. I thought he was great in The Pursuit of Happiness. I love him as an action star. I love him in Men in Black. I just love him in his entire career. And I love The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I love watching him and being interviewed. He's just fun and cool. And I've heard he's very charitable. He gave a lot of his money away for King Richard. To his fellow castmates to help them out. That's pretty amazing. And I'm not a big Chris Rock fan. I mean, I used to think he was pretty funny, but I'm not a fan. I think his humor is the same over and over again, just not my taste anymore. However, all of that I just said matters nothing. It does not matter whatsoever. Chris Rock told a tasteless joke about Jada Smith. Whether you think it's funny or not, whether you think it's classless or not, I do. I don't like the way he did that. I think it was terrible. But it was a joke, and you might not like it. And you can hate him all you want. And Will Smith could have cussed him out afterwards or right then and there from his seat, and people would have been upset with Will Smith, but they would have understood. It would have been beyond awkward, but it would have been understood. But he chose to walk on stage and clock him. He slapped him. He assaulted someone. It's against the law. I mean, come on. Do you all understand that? I've been reading people saying, defending his wife. And all. Fine. I get it. You want to defend someone. You love them to death. But if someone did something to my, insulted my fiance, my ex-wife, my children, my family, I'd be boiling upside and you'd want to hit them. You really would because it's wrong. But you don't do it. You don't do it. Will Smith is in the wrong here. 100%, period, end of story. There is no argument to be had. I don't want to hear anybody. It's ridiculous to think otherwise. And I'm a fan of his. It's wrong. There are no two sides to this. If my favorite musical artist or athlete or actor did this, I would feel exactly the same way about what Will Smith did. Now, saying all that, for now, Chris Rock is not filing a police report. So the point here is mute. Nothing's going to happen. The Academy is not going to take away the Oscar. Give me a break. That's ridiculous. Actually, I was thinking about this morning, and I think that they will actually, if Will Smith does this right, and if he thinks about this and maybe even gets help, I don't know. But if he does this right, and the Academy does this right, he will be back on the next telecast. And because he won Best Actor, he should present the Oscar for the Best Actress. That's what they do. That's tradition. They should allow him to do that if he does the right thing throughout this year, the following year. It's a big year for him. And they do it, and he does it together with Chris Rock. I think that's the perfect scenario to solve this. Will Smith goes on stage, apologizes completely, stands there beside Chris Rock, and presents the award. Now, this will not go away. I mean, this will probably never pass. Will Smith will be hanging this, it'll be hanging over his head for a long time beyond that, even next year if he does that. I mean, this shocking moment is probably the most shocking moment of all time in the history of the Academy Awards. This was no Adele Dazeem moment. This was no Sasheen Little Feather when she went up on stage and refused the Oscar on behalf of Marlon Brando in 1972. This is no Streaker moment. The only one that even, I don't even want to compare it, but the only one that even comes close to this, and it doesn't, it's not close, but the only one I'd say number two will be the La La Land Moonlight debacle. But that's the Academy's fault that screw up with the envelopes and it like looks stupid on them. That was in 2018 for the 2017 for the 2016 Oscars. And that's not even big compared to this. This one, this will be number one forever. This is the big one, unless something else happens. But this will be number one. And for the ratings, the Academy loves it. Now, people are saying they should have stopped the awards. They should have arrested him. No. I think they did the right thing. I think they moved on. They're dealing with it now. They're probably talking to him. The Academy is talking to him. His lawyer's talking to him. His press agent is talking to him. This is big, but they did the right thing. They moved on. It's more than just Will Smith. I think everyone handled it correctly. So I only have one more thing to talk about this. The last thing. I know I'm dragging this on, but this is a big moment, so I have to talk about it. The last thing I want to say about this, and I promise this will be the last thing. I have to say, wow. Not on the moment itself when it came to Will Smith, but no matter how disgusting a joke you may think Chris Rock told about Jada, and I think it was, I got to give kudos to him. I got to give kudos to him for continuing to finish presenting the award. He got clocked by Will Smith, a guy that's pretty big and strong dude, and he also let Smith yell and scream profanities at him in front of millions of people around the world, and he still continued on. He held it together. He didn't... I mean, could you imagine the chaos that would have ensued if he walked off stage or if he continued fighting back on him or swore back? The show would have ended. I can see the show just ended right there and Will Smith would have been on his way to a police station. There would have been a big incident, would have been the biggest thing ever. And because of Chris Rock, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not a fan of his, but because of Chris Rock, the Academy should thank their lucky stars. He sucked up that sucker punch and slap, or whatever you want to call it, and was professional in a very unprofessional moment. He held it. He held it together. Watch the video. He said something like, it's the biggest moment. He goes, he won't say anything anymore to Smith, Will Smith. And he presented the award. Unbelievable. It was amazing to see. Okay, I'm done with that. This big, come on, this is pretty big. Anyway, wow. Okay, let's talk about something that the Oscars are known for, the awards. Yes, there were Oscars given out, and it's actually the reason why I watch it, unless Will Smith is on. So let's talk about the awards themselves. Take a deep breath. Okay, so every year I put together an Oscar ballot for all the awards. I do it in two categories. What will win, I can't say the word will anymore, what will win, and what my choice would have been for from the nominees. Not overall, because I would have selected sometimes a picture, a category, like an actor or somebody from off the board. But let's just talk about the nominees. Yes, who would win and who will win. Now, of the ones I picked that who will win, there are 23 Oscars. I got 21 out of the 23 right. Yay! The only two I got wrong were the best animated short. I picked Robin, which I saw and I thought it was great. It lost. And I picked for a best adapted screenplay, which I got wrong. I picked The Power of the Dog and Coda won. So I got that wrong. Every other single category I got, I predicted correctly. And you say, wow, Jack, you know, that's amazing. That's great. Yeah, I guess I predicted right. I know what the Academy is all about. But that sucks because who I was rooting for in some nominees to surprise me, I felt were more worthy. They didn't win. I thought they should have, which upset me a bit. But, and it wasn't a surprise. Like a good example is best animated film. Simple. It went to Encanto. Pretty much everyone knows it was going to go to Encanto. But I wanted the Mitchells versus the Machines. I thought it's a better movie. Encanto's cute. I really did like it.
but it's typically formulaic for all these animated films that win every year. And I thought they were going for something different. The Academy does that a lot. And The Mitchells vs. Machines is so different and so funny and so good and so memorable. It's a movie you'd want to watch over and over again. Encanto, you only watch over and over again because you have a young child in your household who loves Disney animation. That's it. Anyway, another good example is best production design. It went to Dune. And although Dune is an amazing film, really an amazing film, and deserved all the recognition it got technically, really great film. I loved it. It won 6 Oscars last night. But for production design, I would have given it to either Nightmare Alley or The Power of the Dog. They were just so much more superior when it came to production design than any other film in 2021. But I'm not complaining because Dune was amazing to look at as well. How about Best International Film? It went to Drive My Car. I really like Drive My Car. It's a really good movie. It's a really good movie and well-directed. I should say it's well-directed as well. I want to add that because I was happy he got nominated for Best Director. I thought that was a really, really well-put-together film. However, The Worst Person in the World is a much better film. So it was upsetting that it won. But it is what it is, like I said. Things like Best Costume and Makeup and Hair and other technical categories that Dune won, actually, but Makeup and Hair and Costume as well were as expected, and I was not upset about that. Best Original Screenplay went to Kenneth Branagh for Belfast, which I was thrilled to see as it was his 8th nomination. He's never won an Oscar before. I love Kenneth Branagh. I'm so happy he won. Coda winning for Best Adapted Screenplay was a big thing for me. That was a big, huge disappointment. I really felt that all 4 other nominees in the Adapted Screenplay were much better. The Power of the Dog, Drive My Car, Dune, and The Lost Daughter were all more deserving than Coda. Now, that does not mean Coda is not a better film than them. I'm talking about the screenplay, the adapted screenplay, that category itself. Much more intricate than the other 4. Coda is not, and I felt that they gave it to Coda because they rode the wave of Coda in the last, I think it was last month, actually, when it won the Producers Guild Award, and then everybody just jumped on the bandwagon and voted for it. And they said, oh, it's Coda. Let's vote for it. No matter what, Coda was going to win. If Coda was nominated for 7 categories, it probably would have won all 7. It was just the wave it was riding. So that was disappointing. Best Cinematography. Although I got it right, I think it should have gone to Power of the Dog or even The Tragedy of Macbeth. I would have been happy with. And I wasn't that upset that Dune won because, like I said, it was beautifully, the cinematography was spectacular. It's such a remarkable film visually and probably one of the best cinematic experiences for my eyes that I've had in a while in film. It's kind of like the new Star Wars for our generation. I'm really looking forward to Dune 2. It's going to be great. But I still think that cinematography should have gone to Power of the Dog or The Tragedy of Macbeth. Let's talk about Best Director. That was an easy one. Jane Campion. Unfortunately, it was the only win for Power of the Dog last night. Well, at least thank goodness for that, it won. It would have been really a travesty if it got shut out. I mean, 12 Oscars. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the films like Pulp Fiction or Citizen Kane. I'm not going to put it in that category of Best Picture. That, don't get me wrong here. But it only won, those also only won 1 Oscar. And as history's proven, that they were the best, if not the best film of the year, one of the best films of all time, Citizen Kane and Pulp Fiction, both only winning for screenplay, and Power of the Dog only winning for director. We'll see what history has to say about that. Regarding all 4 acting Oscars, there was no surprise there. All 4 winning their first Oscar, including Jessica Chastain for The Eyes of Tammy Faye. I was really happy about that. Will Smith, of course, for King Richard. Ariana DeBose for West Side Story. And Troy Couture, who becomes only the 2nd deaf actor to win an Oscar. He did it for Coda, of course. And the first being his Coda co-star, Marlee Matlin, when she won in 1986 for Children of a Lesser God. Troy Couture was great in Coda. I loved him in it. But honestly, he was my 2nd choice. My 1st choice was Cody Smith McPhee for The Power of the Dog. It was unbelievable. It was perfect. But I'm not upset. I think Troy Couture did a great job, so I was not upset. And in the supporting actress category, I would have chosen Jessie Buckley in The Lost Daughter. But I do love Ariana DeBose's performance. And her speech was incredible. I loved it. Very powerful. So the Oscars for the acting awards did a good job. I don't know if I would have picked Will Smith either. I might have gone with Benedict Cumberbatch or Andrew Garfield, but I'm not upset that he won. I think he, for the acting part of this, I'm not upset that he won because he did a great job. He was really good. And now it comes down to how I felt about the Best Picture winner. That's the big one. Now, I'm going to talk more about CODA when 2021 comes up on my Wheel of Oscar in the future. Yes, I will be adding it to the wheel. Let me just say this about CODA. I really, really liked CODA a lot. I think it was great. It's a special feel-good film with great acting and a great, great important story to tell. Very important for the hard of hearing community and deaf community. I think people loved it, and I think they'll always will love this film. However, there were times in the movie I felt it was a bit saccharine. I think it was pushed too hard. It was became more formulaic over time. And over time, like over in the future, not in, in the future, not right now, but in the future, it probably won't be recognized by most as the best film of that year. I think people are happy now, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's great for the time. It's the best film of the year. People are going to, you know, voted for it, whatever. I think the Academy system for Best Picture helped it, but I wouldn't have picked it. The voting system was the reason, I think, that it won. So the question is, what should have won in my mind? Well, that is a good question. I don't know right now. The most logical answer right now would be The Power of the Dog. I mean, it checks off all the boxes. It has incredible acting, beyond amazing direction by Jane Campion. The screenplay is spectacular. It's visually beautiful. It's not formulaic. The Academy loves that. It also tackles issues of male aggression against women and the stereotype treatment of homosexuality. So that's a big thing. However, it's not a film for everyone. It's slower paced. It's a Western. Yes, in the past, the Oscars have given it to those types of films like Dances with Wolves, slower films like, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, out of Africa, very slow movie. But this time I think they went for, something important. I think they went for this, you know, a topic that people don't really discuss, like things like, the hard of hearing and what they go through and how important it is. I think it's a special movie, CODA, and that hurt Power of the Dog's chances. And also remember, Power of the Dog was nominated for 12 Oscars as well, and that was a big plus. What about movies like Dune? Dune was nominated for 10. It was loved, the most visually enjoyable film of the year. What about West Side Story? West Side Story had a lot of nominations, and they love Steven Spielberg. That might have actually hurt it because he's won already a couple times. It really was an interesting year for film. I mean, Tick, Tick, Boom to me was as good as a few other nominees, and it didn't get nominated, probably because West Side Story was the musical that got nominated, not Tick, Tick, Boom. Don't Look Up was a fun movie, a very important film. But people, I felt over time, they felt it was more cheesy. Still loved it. I think it's a great film. Nightmare Alley was great to bring back film noir. But then again, not for everyone. I think they just rode the wave of CODA. I think that's why CODA won. But I guess I'll review it when 2021 comes up. Wow, what an award ceremony it was last night. Wow, Will Smith did take away the spotlight off many, but there's a lot of things to talk about. Great performances, great movies out there. You should all see them. And you should tell me what your favorite is from 2021. Tell me if you agreed with any of what I'm talking about. Remember, this is just my opinion on it. Yes, I do have experience in this, but it's just one man's opinion. Tell me if you agreed of any of my choices. Tell me what your thoughts are on the Oscar telecast. And you can talk about Bruno. Actually, don't talk about Bruno. You can talk about Will Smith and the Chris Rock incident if you want. It's kind of crazy, but you can give me your two cents on that. I would like to hear from you. Thanks, honestly, for listening to my take on the 94th Annual Academy Awards. There's always something to talk about when it comes to the Oscars. You know it's my favorite thing. That's why I do Rewatching Oscar, talk about all the greats of the past that won Best Picture and many other films. I am a cinephile. I can't stop, and I never will. I love adding these little bonus episodes just once in a while. Change it up a bit. Of course, I do it right after the Oscars. And don't forget that that the next episode, I'll be talking about a specific year in film. So I'll go back to the regular broadcast, the way we always do things. And the next year I'll be talking about is 1947. And the best picture from that year was none other than Gentleman's Agreement, starring Gregory Peck, John Garfield, and Dorothy McGuire. Really controversial film about anti-Semitism in post-World War II America. Wow, a lot of fun this was. But looking forward to next episode, too. It's going to be great. So until then, keep downloading and listening to all Rewatching Oscar episodes on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and all those other ones that that you use out there. So until next time, my name is Jack Ferdman, and keep watching those greats. Bye for now. Rewatching Oscar's music is by Terpak. The podcast logo and producer of Rewatching Oscar is Jack Ferdman. You can listen to all episodes of Rewatching Oscar on your favorite podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, and many others. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Also check out our website, www.rewatchingoscar.buzzsprout.com, for all episodes.